Court will proceed to the sixth case, the County of McHenry versus Insurance Company West. Mr. White.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Craig White. I represent the County of McHenry. Joining me today is my colleague Richard Pearl. I believe that the key issue in this appeal is whether or not the standard to be used in evaluating a complaint that comes under attack pursuant to Rule 12b-6 is the same in the district court as it is in this court when it exercises its de novo review. The district court in this case did not, we respectfully submit, apply the standard of searching the complaint to find out if there is any possibility for relief under any of the facts that might be established under the allegations. Specifically in this case, the complaint alleged three basic issues: no right to reimbursement, no right to arbitration. No right to arbitration fell into two sub-issues under the agreement: no right to arbitration and or waiver of the right to arbitration. There's no dispute that that's what the complaint said. There's no dispute that the 12b-6 motion to dismiss filed by the Insurance Company of the West addressed only the question of arbitration. It did not mention the waiver claim. There's no dispute that the response brief filed by the county did not mention waiver. There's no dispute that the reply brief did not mention waiver. And there's no dispute that the district court's memorandum opinion did not mention waiver. Because the complaint was dismissed in its entirety and judgment was entered in favor of the defendant, the county moved pursuant to Rule 59E to alter the judgment because the district court had overlooked the waiver argument. In ruling on that, the district court ruled that the county had waived its waiver argument by not bringing it up in its opposition brief. There is no law that supports that. There is no rule that supports that. And it is inconsistent with a rule which basically says, in scrutinizing a complaint for its legal sufficiency, one looks to all of the allegations in the complaint, gives all the benefit of the doubt to the pleader, and even on appeal, if new facts come to light, which can be said to arguably relate to the allegations made, those facts may be considered because all doubt goes in favor of supporting the complaint. That doubt was not given to my client because it clearly pleaded a claim that was never considered and then ruled to be waived when it was brought up under Rule 59. There are no further questions. I'll reserve the remainder of my time. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. White. Mr. Horstman.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Jim Horstman. I represent the Insurance Company of the West. Well, there are indeed some disputes about what the record shows. It's not true that Judge Kennelly failed to consider the county's waiver argument, I think. They certainly haven't established that. When Insurance Company of the West filed its motion to dismiss, it broadly alleged that no facts were alleged that would support relief. It didn't make specific reference to the waiver argument, but it said broadly, no facts are alleged that would warrant relief. County came back and resisted the motion only on the grounds of its interpretation of Condition N, the arbitration clause. Judge Kennelly, in granting the motion to dismiss, did not articulate any particular analysis with respect to the county's waiver argument, for sure. But we have to look at the context of that. The county's theory was that Insurance Company of the West had waived its right to arbitration by filing two prior lawsuits in the district court. Well, Judge Kennelly, those were his cases. Judge Kennelly was the judge on both of those two prior cases. He knew everything about them. He knew why he had dismissed them. Same parties, same judge, everyone knew it. Nevertheless, it's true. His order dismissing the cause of action doesn't specifically make reference to the waiver argument. All right. Now the county comes back and files a Rule 59 motion and says, you forgot this one issue. Judge Cannelli denies the motion, says, well, first of all, you didn't raise it before, and that's not right. But then he goes on to say, but I also agree with Insurance Company of the West on the merits. And the judge specifically says, and I quote, I don't see that I overlooked anything. Well, I don't know what that means if it doesn't mean that the judge says, Judge Cannelli said, I considered that waiver theory. It may not be mentioned in the order, but in response, his evaluation of the Rule 59 motion, he looks at it and says, I don't see that I overlooked anything, suggesting that he had considered it. So we have some disagreement as to the record. I think the judge clearly did consider the county's waiver theory when he ruled on the motion to dismiss. Now, counsel hasn't mentioned by name the main principle they're relying on here, and it's really the county's relying upon Highsmith and the line of cases after that to save them from their waiver. Obviously, the general rule is if you don't raise a point until your Rule 59 motion, it's not preserved for appeal. That's the general rule. Highsmith came along, I think, in 94 and said in an appeal from a 12B6 ruling, it's different. A point can be raised for the first time on appeal. Okay, that much is true. What counsel runs into trouble with here, though, is that Highsmith is a special exception to the general waiver rule. When the court looks at the briefs in this case, you'll see the county didn't raise this issue until its reply brief. It's got a double level of waiver here. Highsmith says you can, in a 12B6 appeal, you can raise a point for the first time on appeal. It surely did not say that you can raise a point for the first time in a reply brief on appeal. So the same old rule applies to every other appeal in this courthouse. You can't hold an issue back. You can't hold a point back until your reply brief. And when you go back and look at the county's brief, there's no citation to Highsmith or the other cases that followed it. Highsmith, VC, Pleasureland. It's a point that they held back and saved for the reply brief. So they still have a waiver problem, a big waiver problem. Highsmith doesn't save them. We would suggest. As with any waiver issued, this court has all kinds of discretion about whether to impose or recognize a waiver. I would just highlight three points. The county has been represented throughout these proceedings by two pretty high-power law firms. This is not a pro se type appeal. Further, we have a situation where there's a demonstrated lack of diligence by the county in the district court, by having failed to raise the waiver theory timely, and now in the Court of Appeals, by having held back the Highsmith argument until its reply brief. I think the equities indicate this isn't a case where the county should be forgiven for this kind of waiver. I guess nobody really is pleased with resolving issues on waiver, and I'd like to say a few things on the merits of this. And it really goes back to, I guess, my comments about the earlier cases being Judge Cannelli's cases. He's heard all three of these. The county's theory is that Insurance Company of the West relinquished its right to arbitrate its right to get the $5 million back because it filed these two prior lawsuits. They say that's a waiver. I think on the face of it, and I think Judge Cannelli thought this too, on the face of it, that's legally insufficient. Why? The first two lawsuits were filed before Insurance Company of the West even paid the $5 million. Those first two lawsuits didn't involve anything about reimbursement for $5 million because it's undisputed that the money wasn't paid until after the filing of the second of those lawsuits. And the other pertinent point is that Judge Cannelli, both of those two earlier lawsuits, he dismissed as being premature. He found no federal jurisdiction. He said there's no ability to even reach the merits. So not only did the insurance company of the West not have its day in court on the merits, there could have been no election there. It simply isn't an instance, legally speaking, where you can have a waiver, because in the earlier two cases, it's very clear that the issue here was not and could not have been presented. And the issue here is, does insurance company of the West, ultimately the issue, I'm sorry, is does insurance company of the West have a right to reimbursement for the $5 million that it paid to settle out the damages claim for the county? Wasn't part of the earlier cases, couldn't have been. Bottom line, our position, I think, on this issue is Judge Cannelli implicitly had considered this the county's waiver theory, but properly dismissed it. As counsel has made no comment on the Condition 9 part of the appeal, I think that's pretty well briefed, and I'll rest on the briefs, and I'd ask the court to affirm the judgment of the district court.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Horstman.
Thank
Mr.
you.
White.
It's not about what the district court implicitly ruled. It's about what the district court ruled. The district court ruled that by failing to raise an allegation or a claim that was already in the complaint in an opposition brief to a 12B6 motion to dismiss, the county waived the claim. There is no rule, there is no law, and I respectfully submit there cannot be a waiver theory that places that level of burden on a complaint which is subject to a narrow attack, and no indication is given that it's a full attack. Mistake here was not considering the entirety of the complaint. That is what is required by a district court or any court ruling on a 12B6 motion. It can only be that way in a district where one is not required to even file a brief in opposition. And one may simply stand on one's complaint in the face of a Rule 12B6 motion. With respect to the waiver argument, I just want to clarify this so that it is crystal clear. Our claim is not that the insurance company of the West waived its right to ask for its money back from the county. Our claim is that it waived its right to arbitrate that question by virtue of bringing two prior lawsuits, one of which has made its way to this court before. That said, the hour's late. It's almost time for lunch. Unless there are questions, I'll retire.
No, I think it's an issue fairly presented to us.
Thank you.
Mr. Horstman, Mr. White, Mr. Pearl, thank you. And the case is taken under advisement. And the court will stand in recess.